call this training workshop for the Board of Trustees of Benilde ISD to order. The date is December 13th, 2012. Time is 6:25. Tony, can you please call roll?
Thank you. Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mr. Medina?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
All right, guys, you're all set. I'll be in the office getting your packets ready. If you need anything, holler at me.
Thank you, Tony.
Well, shall I go ahead and get started? You guys are ready? I think I've met each one of you as you came in individually. I'm Kathy Seifert. I will preface this the way I've prefaced so many in my own district. I work for the El Paso Independent School District, and I love my district. And we've been through some challenging times. You guys go through some challenging times. But I remain committed in that our history is too rich, our success stories too many, and our potential too great to give up now. So about a year or so ago in my district, they asked me to work on a customer service campaign. It was at the request of our Board of Trustees. That year, Ms. Carrasco came to see me do it because I did it for all human resources people in the entire area. And then she called me later and said, you all had a similar request or an idea for coming to you, that you two were looking at ways of placing greater value on customer service. And so I worked with them and then came here, and I trained several different groups, a leadership group at first, and then a lot of people from central office and another group as well. And so I'm here tonight to talk to you about what I told them. So to ask for your endorsement to keep this all going and to see what you think, how I think about customer service, that in Conotillo ISD, customers and customer service go hand in hand because nice matters. Would y'all agree that nice matters?
It was nice.
Nice matters. Have you ever been given bad news, but the person who was delivering it did it so softly or nicely that you didn't even really know that it was bad news? I mean, you're kind of walking out like, oh, I think I just got fired, but maybe not. I think I'll go ahead and go to work tomorrow and see how that goes, right? At the same time, have you ever been given good news, but it was delivered so poorly that it didn't feel like good news? Like here, your employee of the month, you have to fill its form out. But I don't think I want to be that again, right? So this whole idea of nice matters is something that I tell people all the time. Nice matters. It's no matter what kind of news you have to deliver, nice matters. And so here's some ideas that we've had when we're talking about this. First of all, we'll talk about what kind of customers do we mean. Let's define it. One is that we have our external customers like students and parents and community members. Absolutely, bottom line, we cannot show them with anything but the highest level of respect to those external customers. They come to us giving us their most precious gift on earth, which is their own children. They trust you to be a responsible guardian of the public trust and to do use as your filter always how to do what's right for kids. And when you have that as your filter, then those external customers are going to be happy. But even still, they're going to come to you with little issues. You know, I went to a high school not too long ago, and I was doing this during the late registration. All these secretaries came in on their lunch break, and then here I'm going to talk to them about customer service. They're walking in, ah, like these parents. It's late, they don't bring their paperwork, they don't do this. Here I was sitting over the side, they didn't know what I was there for. I said, well, I'm here to talk to you today about customer service. I said, I know it's a bad time because it's late registration. Late registration. These people already didn't follow the rules. These people are asking you to extend yourself one step more when really, come on, you've already registered hundreds of kids. But see, here's the thing, what's our choice? Gotta take them, don't we? Yeah. So, what? I mean, we can fight it if we want, but in the end, people are still gotta do, we still gotta have these kids here, right? Kids gotta be educated. So, that's why our external customers, they're just really important. But you know, our internal customers are important too. That sometimes, and I don't know why we do this as educators, but you know, we'll do something like, oh, who'd you have for third grade? Oh, Miss Sarah. Lucky you, but in fourth grade. Ooh.
That was me.
God bless you. You know?
She actually had.
You know, did you? Really? Or you think they go, oh, well, I have to go over to finance today. Ooh. Or human resources. May God go with you. You know? We say things like that about each other. About each other. And we do not lift ourselves up as an organization when we're shooting ourselves down like that. We even tell our external customers that, don't we? Oh, you've got to go to central office today? Ooh, good luck there. What are we thinking? No, firefighters don't behave like that. Firefighters go into life and death situations as brothers in arms. And when one day one of those firemen become the chief, the fire chief, he doesn't become the enemy. He doesn't become the enemy. But in our system, sometimes we have teachers become administrators. Ooh, they're the bad guys now. Those administrators end up going to the central office. Oh, enemy number one, right? And that's not the kind of the spirit in which we need to have in order to provide our best customer service. So our internal customer service are each other. And we need to make sure we're lifting each other up as an organization rather than, you know, I told my interim superintendent the other day, you know, here's the thing about ideas, sir, there's a lot of people throwing a lot of folks under the bus, and I'm a big girl, I'm not gonna fit. We gotta stop doing that, right?
All right. So let me talk to you about free and public education. My best friend and I used to teach together. She teaches over at Chaparral High School now. But we had a first period prep, and together. So I was in there, her room, kind of squirreling around one morning. And she says, this is years ago, and she says, oh, I hate it when the assistant principal does this. He's about to announce the menu for the day. I mean, talk about your pet peeves. I said, you hate it when he talks about the menu? And she goes, I don't like the way he says it. I said, okay. And she says, every day he gets on, he says, today in the cafeteria they're giving. And then he gives me. I go, and? She says, well, most of our kids are on free lunch. Some on reduced lunch. Most of them on free lunch. Why does he have to say today they're giving? How come he can't say today they're serving? When they get to the cafeteria, that's the way the cafeteria workers treat them, like they're being served. Why can't he say serve? And I said, well, you know, he's a nice enough guy. Let's just go down and tell him, because I'm that kind of person. Sir, no, you're fine. When you make those announcements in the morning, how about instead of saying giving, could you say serving? And you know, he made a note, I like that. And then from then on, he always said, today in the cafeteria, they're serving, and then the menu. You know, small change, big difference. Big difference. That's what customer service can be about sometimes. Small changes that make big differences. So here's the thing. When we have this thing called a free and public education, sometimes people have this idea that just because it's free, you know, it's like take it or leave it. It's free. You're not paying for it. You don't like it here, go to a private school and pay for it. Sometimes they get the idea that you should have to wait or you should service without a smile. Hey, it's free. Quit complaining, right? And that's not the kind of attitude we want to have. We want to have people feel like, you know, I went to the movies over Thanksgiving. Long lines to get into the movies. And you know, the guy who owns that movie theater does not look out and say, what are all these people doing here? He doesn't do that. He goes, you know, yay. What do we do when there are long lines outside our offices? Are we going, yay, look at that. Look at that job security. You know, look at that, yay, right? Free and public education doesn't mean take it or leave it. And so what does good customer service look like? Now, in your packets today, let me just tell you that this PowerPoint is in your packet. Of course, it's also on this computer if anybody needed it electronically. You have a copy of that, but I'm going to be going through all the slides. You'll have another PowerPoint that goes on over teaming, and we're going to do a little bit of team building tonight, too. And then you have some loose handouts. If you'll find those loose handouts, look at the blue one right now. You'll find a customer service quiz. As I work with employees at CISD, they took a customer service quiz. And in the interest of time, I'm not going to have you all take it tonight, but I am just going to tell you that that customer service quiz helps people to reflect on what are some things that we might, when I'm talking about customer service, what do I mean? And so we ask them to rank themselves on this as kind of like golf, low scores best. And then we ask them to look at the scoring implications on the back. And if you score real low, we say, wow, that's great.
you have a great job. It looks like you've got the right job, and you love where you work. And gee, that makes a difference. How many of you ever gone to a restaurant where whoever's serving you that night loves where they work? And they're giving you such great service. And when you, hey, what should I order off this menu? They have two or three things they can tell you that are really super good. And then how many of you have been to the opposite restaurant? You go there, that you sit down, and they're like, oh, man, they sat in my section. And then they come over to serve and say, hey, what's good? And they go, I don't need here. Woo! Yeah? So you have those kind of choosy experiences. How do you show the difference?
The
10. People like to say that sometimes. Although I did this for head custodians, and then one head custodian says, you know, if I get bad service, I leave one penny. I said, why do you do that? And he says, because if I leave nothing, they just think I'm cheap. If I leave one penny, I'm telling them what their service is worth. Really? Ooh. But let me ask you this. How many of you have over-tipped when you got great service?
Oh, yeah.
Like really over tipped. Uh-huh. Like sent her kids through college almost. Yeah? You're a regular customer. And what you have there is a great fit. You have somebody who loves what they do and loves who they do it for. And that's the kind of employees you want.
Uh-huh.
I want to love what I do. You know what? I love what I do. And I love who I work for. And that's what I think gives me success at what I'm doing. And that's what you want to talk to your people about. Now, when I look at this form and I think, oh, is there anything I'm not so good at? And I look at that fourth one down. It says I'm patient with people and customers and coworkers who get confused with our policies and procedures.
Oh.
A friend was in my office one day. I answered the phone for like a 10th time. I think that's the 10th time he said the same thing on the phone. I said, I know it. But here's the thing. You just call once. Annette, you just call once. You just call once. Or I can't treat you differently because you're call number 10. And she was call number 1. But if you flip it over on the back, it says something in dark print up at the top. And it says, this work is it's tough work. And it can overload even the best of us. And I want to tell you, education and what you all do for this community is tough work. And it can overload even the best of us.
Absolutely.
You know, I get into the car sometimes at night. And I'm adjusting my mirrors. I notice I'm adjusting down. And I think to myself, nobody else has been in this car. My goodness, the day has actually beat me down to where I'm shorter. And I think I drive home like this. It's probably pretty dangerous. Don't get out on the freeway at the same time I'm there. And that night, you know what I do? Well, I'll tell you what I don't do. I don't check emails. I check emails every night, but I don't check emails that night. Because I've got to get my towel on. Because the next day, I got to get back, baby. I got to do this. And it's tough work. And it can overload even the best of us. And having that energy to get up and do it again, it takes everything you got. So number 4, not so good at. But the last one, I think I got that one nailed. My enthusiasm shows.
Mm-hmm.
My enthusiasm shows. So that's the quiz I had them take. Again, in the interest of time, I'm not going to have you take it. But know that as you talk to people about customer service and keep that as a resource, saying, hey, you know what? When we talk about customer service in CISD, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. And number 4 is not so easy for you, but it's easy for her. So you know what? Let's work together as a team. And sometimes you've got to tag team and pass off something. Like, you know what? Please answer this next call for me because I'm about to blow. Can you do that for me? Yeah, you bet I can. You bet I can. As I'm always talking to people about teams of people working together to take on this job. And then I say to them this. Do you and your staff come to work with gratitude or an attitude? You know, when I was doing this for head custodians, I had a Spanish translator doing this. And when she got to that part, she said, do you come to work with gratitude or an attitude? She didn't do any of that. I said, hey, you know, it's or an attitude. And she goes, It's really hard to borrow somebody else's wiggle and translate it into another language. That's what I found out that day. So now you got to work it a little. Is it gratitude or attitude? What did you bring to the table today? The department I work in at Central Office in PISD 2 years ago had 14 employees. We now have 5. I've come to work with gratitude. I've come to work with gratitude, not an attitude, because There's many fewer hands to do a lot of the work. And you guys face some of those same cuts too. In this economy, I don't know anybody who doesn't know somebody who's either out of work, hours been cut back, no raises for a few years, all that stuff. I was in a workshop next to a teacher from Georgia. She said we had 10 furlough days. At first, I was kind of silly. I really didn't know what a furlough day was. It sounded a little like camping. But what it meant was you work without pay. And she had, you know what, gratitude. Because the teaching jobs there are so few and far between. She was glad to take on 10 more days without pay. Attitude, not gratitude. No attitude there, gratitude. Gratitude for a job. So here's what we did. We took CISD, and we have some catchphrases that go with it that connect with customer service. The C stands for courtesy matters. I stands for improve the situation with prompt responses. S, solicit input. D, dedicate yourself to customer service. Let's go through them just one by one. The first one, courtesy matters. Now look at this. This says, please ring bell to be noticed. Isn't that the truth? You know, I have worked in a district with a lot of old schools. They're not even set up to welcome people in. You know, there's like little windows you got to stick your head through. Hey, hey, can I have my kid? You know, it's kind of hard. And this whole idea of getting noticed, in this day of computers, a lot of our secretarial staff are stuck behind computers all day. They literally don't see somebody there until that person's already got attitude, right? So that can be difficult. Last Christmas, I was shopping with my husband. We've been married over 30 years. I couldn't get anybody to even make eye contact with me to help me. I finally turned to him. I said, am I invisible? And he says, like this, no, you're right there.
You have to.
That's not how you
are. Okay, just let you know. I had some attitude behind it. You and I had attitude the whole rest of the week. Anyway, that courtesy matters. Courtesy matters. And if people aren't sure what courtesy looks like, kind of look at the checklist. If you're not doing that kind of stuff, you're not handling things with courtesy. Courtesy matters.
I need, says improve the situation with prompt responses. Now, this is one of my funnest. Look at this. This window's closed. This window's open, but there's nobody here. And look at that evil smile. Look at that. Totally evil. So I work for community college. I teach one class, second language learners at night. And I go to turn in my grades once a semester. When I go to turn in my grades, I go very early in the morning so I can get to my real job. And I know that the lady gets there at 7:30, but she's not really on duty. And she knows that I'm going to come early, because I always do. I put like a chalk on the top, because she's not happy in the world. She's got attitude every day. So I go there one day, and I always have this big smile. You know, kind of fake, like, yeah, hi, good morning, how are you? I'm here to turn in my grades. She says, that's not where you turn in grades.
Really?
It's not? Where do you turn in grades? I said, she goes, there. Oh.
So you see, at 7:30 in the morning, it doesn't make a bit of difference. Not a bit of difference. Later on, those will be two long lines. And if you've been in the wrong long line for a long time, and then you get up close enough to read the sign and realize you need to do this, that causes problems. That's why she's got that attitude. But really, is the courtesy there? Not so much.
Here's the thing. Improve the situation with prompt responses. This is the weirdest thing. Well, first of all, improve the situation is this. My own school board's told me that about three out of every four things that go to the school board didn't have to go there. There were things that could have been handled, should have been handled someplace else. But there was a spark, and instead of pouring water on it, they pour gasoline. You have some people that go around with gas cans. Do you ever know those gas can people? They just get the fireball. Pretty soon, by the time it comes to you, the fireball. Right? The fireball. You think to yourself, you're going to go to the police station and go, really? We're handling this? What? This could have been handled someplace else? That's what they tell me too. So that improve the situation, I tell people all the time, if you can't improve the situation, pass it on to somebody who can. But don't make something worse. And that whole idea about prompt responses, for 4 years in EPISD, my job was to work with unhappy parents. Who knew there was even a job like that? I mean, that wasn't my title, but that's basically what I did. In fact, I worked with unhappy parents who were trying to have them not go to a school board for their issue. And let me finish the sentence. Unhappy parents from
The West Side.
A lot of those folks, I live over there.
Do you know what I'm talking about? And I don't know what took me. Yeah.
Sorry,
I don't know what took me so long to figure this out. But I finally said to this one woman, it was like I was dealing with her all the time. When she called, she, hey, Kathy, it's me. Oh, Lassie, how are you? You know, what's going on? What we got today, right? So, I don't know what took me so long to figure this out, but here's what I finally said to her. I said, I will get back to you within the hour regarding the status of your concern. Now, letting you know, I cannot work miracles. It doesn't mean in an hour I'll have everything solved for you, but I'll tell you who I've called, what policy I've looked up, what connections I've even met, what messages, but in an hour, I will have done something, and I will get back to you. It was like a miracle. She goes, okay, I'll talk to you within the hour. Yes, ma'am, you will. Within the hour, in that particular time, I had to even tell her, I looked at the policy, you're going down. I didn't say it like that, but I said, hey, it can't happen. But it, because I said it, and it, now, can I do that all the time with every kid? But no, but sometimes, what really gets people going is that nobody gets back to them. I waited and waited. The phone rang and rang. How many messages did I leave? So I just say this. I will get back to you within the hour about the status of your concern. Sometimes I've got bad news to deliver in an hour. Sometimes all I can say is I left a message here, here, and here. But they know that I care. And why did they call in the first place? Because they felt an injustice was done to their child. I got to tell you, I'm a tiger mom. I think an injustice has been done to my son. He's 24. I'm still going to take you on. And so I know where they're coming from, right? Improve the situation with prompt responses.
Next one is solicit input. This cartoon says, yes, it was all a hoax, a charade. Your calls were not important to us. That's because you get so many messages like this. Your call is important to us.
How many times do you hear that and you think, no, it's not. You don't get back to me, right? So, solicit input is this. This is what I tell people. First of all, make sure you get enough information from people that you can really solve their problem. Sometimes you start talking, oh, I know what she wants. Oh, here, let me do this. No, I didn't listen long enough to find out. Solicit input. The other thing you have to do on a regular basis, and this is the hardest thing I do in the kind of profession I have, but if this were a longer session, I'd be handing out evals and asking you what. Tell me how I did. I do it all the time. Sometimes those evals are hard to read. People came to train and didn't want to be there, and they take it out on me. Sometimes they didn't like what was told them, they take that out on me too. Sometimes it wasn't that great a session, and I deserve it. But my only way of getting better at what I do is to regularly solicit input. Now I know that's got to be at the heart of your work, because you work for constituents, and you're regularly asking them, what do you need, what can I do? Even if you're not asking them, you're hearing about it, right? So solicit input's what I tell other people to do as well.
And the last is dedicate yourself to customer service. It says customer policy is to treat all our clients badly. Look at that fat cat. That's nowhere in CISD. And when I say to people, commit yourself or dedicate yourself to customer service, I always ask them this. What's a low cost, no cost something you can do tomorrow that makes you better at this?
You know what a lot of people tell me in CISD? I think I can smile more. Yeah, let's get going on it now. Let's crack one right open, right? You'd be surprised just what a smile would be. Doesn't cost you a thing. Don't have to go to the board, get it approved, no POs. Let's just smile and walk. And make people know that we like what we're doing and we're happy with the people we're working for.
Okay, how many of you guys know a lot of education buzzwords? How many of you know the term blizzard competence? Yes?
Yeah?
No, I made it up. I completely made it up because it came to me with this story. My sister-in-law last summer says to me, hey, let's go to lunch. She worked at Region 19 at the time. Let's go to lunch. I said, I don't have time to go to lunch. She goes, we'll just drive through. We'll just drive through. And being the health nuts we are, we drove through a Dairy Queen. That makes sense, yeah? Okay.
Why are you laughing?
So,
yeah. Because I've done it.
You don't build a figure like this on... salads, I can tell you that. So she goes, okay, let's drive through the Dairy Queen. Now, when we drive through the Dairy Queen, I always order the same thing. I always order a chocolate dipped cone. Who's with me?
I am.
Okay.
I always can.
mean, it's classic. Never disappoints.
Nope.
Right? Right. Never disappoints. It's old school, but I love it. And because I hardly ever go to the Dairy Queen, and that's the most surprising part of this whole story. I had not been to the Dairy Queen in like a bazillion years. And I know, it looks like I go every day. But I had not been in a long time. And so I ordered my classic chocolate dip cone. The girl working that day was this teenager who went to work completely with attitude, not a smidgen of gratitude.
Tears.
You know, but she was giving me his chocolate dip cone, so, you know, big smile.
Thank you.
But my sister-in-law, she orders
a blizzard. How about blizzards, yeah? Okay, do you know what they do when they serve blizzards nowadays? No? Do you know? Okay, I didn't know this either. They turn it upside down before they hand it to you.
Oh, so the cold is...
Well, to show you that the product is so thick and rich that it will not fall out. Now, I can tell you, by the way, nothing that comes from my kitchen can pass this test. I've tried with no success at all. Nor does it taste better after you do that to it. But, so imagine me in the car with my chocolate dip cone. Miss Attitude is about to serve a blizzard, and she does this. I freak. I go, ah! I mean, that's wasted ice cream. So I made me die for it, which was very awkward because I was not in the driver's seat. I was in the passenger. I'm balancing the chocolate dip cone, and I'm trying to grab for a blizzard. My sister-in-law goes, stop. That's embarrassing. She goes, they do that. I go, they do that? Who does that? Dairy Queens. All Dairy Queens? Yes, all Dairy Queens do that. Wow. I mean, just think of it. People who own the Dairy Queen, it could be a Dairy King, I don't know. I don't know the background.
I'm sure it's a Dairy Queen.
But whoever it is that owns all Dairy Queens has such confidence, not only in the product that's being served, but in every single person in the country that will serve that product, that they allow that. That's pretty incredible. I call that blizzard confidence. And I tell people, when I talk about you guys, when I've come here to CISD, I talk about you. The board wants to have blizzard confidence in all those people out there that it doesn't matter what school you go to, doesn't matter what office you call, doesn't matter who you get home, you're going to be treated with utmost respect. That's blizzard confidence. And that's what we want to have, right? Doesn't matter.
Blizzard confidence. So then I ask them this. If I went to your campus or department with a difficult but doable request, how many times would I be put on hold? How many times would I be transferred to somebody else?
How many times would I hear, gee, I don't think we do that. third grade? No, I don't think we do that. No, not in this elementary. Call the next one, right?
How many times would I be told how busy you are?
Oh, gosh, that's such a pet peeve of mine. I'm so busy. I can't believe how busy I am. I mean, look at you guys. All right, yeah, I think you're busy, but here you are, right?
How many times would I have to speak to someone in charge? Do I have to know the boss to get anything done?
Do I have to call you guys to get something done, or can I call just the school and they'll have to help, right?
How many times would I have to repeat my story?
Oh,
how many times would I just be told no? Flat out no. In my office, these five survivors on Survivor Island thing, I say to them all the time, find a way to say yes. We've got to find a way to say yes.
When you guys first wanted me to come here, they initially said, can you come here on the 12th? Well, you know, I'm giving my test for my final for second, but I could do the 13th, or I could do this day, or I could do that. Find a way to say yes. We need to stop having this no mentality. Because the no mentality, all the no's are leading up to what? A culture of complaint. I mean, honestly, if we were serving ice cream, it'd be the wrong flavor for some folks, wouldn't it? A culture of complaint. This is wrong. That's wrong. This ain't instead of looking for the good. Find a way to say yes.
How about this? A principal told me when he first went to his campus, he was going to this campus and a very established office staff that had a not too great reputation.
I mean, they're like, I've been here 25 years, I've been here this many years. They own that school. I've seen this principal come and go, and they own it, right? And so he said, you know, I'm a little worried about his office staff. I've heard some stories, right? And so he just said, I'm going to start off this way, put this sign up. If you don't receive excellent customer service, please ask to speak to the principal immediately. New sheriff in town. I said, how'd they take it? He goes, you know what? Not too bad, because I just said, this is something I really care about, ladies. Something I really believe in. And so I want to hear about it, good, bad, because we can't fix it if we don't know. So I put that sign up. And things got better.
We want to order up with neon.
There you go. There you go. Then here, I'm going to talk to you about two business models. I love Walgreens. I live right up from a Walgreens. Anybody love Walgreens?
Yeah, I love Walgreens.
I love Walgreens because it's like two separate stores all in one. In the back, I go pick up my high blood pressure medicine. In the front, they say, do you want a giant candy bar to go with it? And I do. I go, yeah. How about that giant tub of cheesy balls? And I know what that too. Let's go. I got my blood pressure medicine. Look at this. Now they have beer and wine there. I'm old. That's the closest to a happy hour I get. I'm going to Walgreens. I'll see you.
So, but here's the thing about Walgreens. One time I went there, and they didn't have, their display wasn't working, so they had to turn it around. I got to see this super secret sign that only their employees see. And it said this, got service, greet, offer, thank. Because, you know, it doesn't happen by accident at Walgreens. They say, hi, how are you today, ma'am? Would you like a giant candy bar? You bet. And thank you for your business. That's why they have more business, is because they have a sign that reminds them to do that. I'm laying money down that Albertsons, there's a sign somewhere that tells them to say, did you find everything you needed today or you were looking for today? Wouldn't you love to say, no, I've got like 20 more things, but my feet are killing me. You want to go pick these up for me? I'll wait here. No. So they ask me that every time. I don't think it's by accident. When I'm paying for services, they know how to provide good customer service. How about Whataburger? Even if you don't like Walgreens, you got to love Whataburger, right? So my husband, he's crazy when he doesn't like drive-thrus. So we go through drive-thrus, he's always like, check the bag, you know, like there's going to be something missing, and sometimes there is. And he doesn't want us to get all the way home. So I check the bag, and oh, they forgot our fries. So he whips right back around, and he tells the guy, hey, you forgot our fries. So they all come up to the window here, we'll get you fries. So we go to the window, and not only do they give us fries, but they throw in a cherry pie, too. I could just keep this up all night. You know? We were there one day from lunch to dinner. If they had chocolate dip cones, I'd be there now. Right? So, here's what their super secret sign says. You want to last at Whataburger? You listen, apologize, satisfy, and it says in parentheses, give them something. Because those kids work in the windows, they're not authorized to give away food, except that their sign tells them to. Give them something. And then thank. And of these, I think the hardest one is that second one.
Apologize.
Because sometimes when we apologize, it's like we're taking personal ownership. But I can guarantee you, like, if you come to a session at PDC and it didn't go well and you say, hey, that really stunk, the first thing I'm going to say, I'm sorry. Even if it wasn't me. I'm going to say, I'm sorry, because busy people shouldn't have their time wasted with information that's not going to help them be better at what they do. So I'm sorry. And I appreciate your feedback because I can't get better at what I do unless you help me out with that. But listen, apologize, satisfy, and thank. That's how Whataburger does it.
So, what will you do to improve customer service in CISD? And here's some of the things your people have told me. They say things like, I think I'll smile more. Even if you smiled once in here, had just a little laugh, or you just thought about a chocolate dip cone and that made you smile, pass that one on. Tell somebody else about it. They say things like, I will return calls. I'm dedicated to that this year. I will not let a call go unreturned. But you know that probably 4 out of 5 times when I return a call, the first thing people say to me is this, thank you so much for returning my calls.
They say it with a sense of desperation in their voice. Thank you so much for returning my call. And I think, uh-oh, a lot of people aren't
returning calls. Find a way to say yes. And just saying things like this, can I help you? Can I help you? You know, I don't even belong here. But if somebody walked in and looked like they need help, I'd probably say, can I help you? And then I'd have to say, well, I don't even belong here. Let me find somebody who can help you, right?
But how many times have you gone to someplace and nobody even said, can I help you? You're walking around with that total like, look, and nobody offers it up. That's what I've been talking to you folks about. I hope we'll see a difference.
And then I just tell them this. Thank you for helping us to provide quality customer service in CISD.
I hope it's given them an opportunity to think about it, to think about what a difference it could make, even small things, that we don't have to do a big whole turnaround. But if I could smile a little more and just say, can I help you, then I can make a big change. And so that's what we've been doing with the customer service campaign here in CISD. What do y'all think? Yeah?
Great.
Yeah?
It's great.
Does it hit on some nerves?
Some stuff you heard.
Yeah? And now you have the information too.
You know, how can we do this? How can we get it done? You know?
Yeah. Now you have the right to say, hey, you know what, guys? I'm thinking there's some training here. And remember, we decided as a group, this is what we cared about. And with your endorsement of it, with your saying, you know what? I think I want people to come to work with gratitude, not an attitude.
I love that.
And I love confident.
That gratitude. Because whenever, even when we have staff meeting now, and I'll say, I said, wait a minute, are you showing gratitude? Oh, no.
Or gratitude.
I mean, and then this, because nice matters, we all, that we've almost became a cliche now. We have leadership, because it can get contested. And then somebody will always say, wait a minute, because nice matters, brings it down. So it still needs some work to become institutionalized, but it's coming along. It's come a long way that you're hearing that kind of thing now.
Yeah, you hear people just talk about it as though it's an expectation. And that your board has blizzard confidence in the people out there. And if I can't have blizzard confidence in you, then we need to turn some things around there, right? We need to have maybe more training. We need to be talking about this more as a group. And I encourage campuses to do that as a campus group, to say, hey, if customer service were our hallmark in this campus, what would that look like for departments to be able to say the same thing? I want to find a way to say yes. And those kinds of things. So I hope it takes a real hold. I've heard it a little bit tonight. I got here really early because I didn't want to fight traffic and everything. So I've been up here and I heard a few people say, now don't forget nice matters. Of course, it could have been because I had it up there. But and then, you know, the little girl, the kindergarten girl who's here, you know, she walked up to that logo there and said, this is on the computers in the lab at our school. And I said, well, you must go to a kind of tip school. I do. Well, see, there you go. And here it is here, too. That is cute. So we're going to move from that a little bit to team building. Although, I will say, these two things are not exclusionary, are they? You know, because good customer service sometimes takes a team. It's not just a single person. Sometimes there are, I'm telling you, just real gold star customer service people, but standouts. But really, it's the whole team that's going to make a difference. So now I'm going to switch gears a little bit to working together as a team. And so, you know, I tend to be very story-bound. So let me start with a story. Not too many years ago, I went to a training, and the very first thing, when I noticed when we walked in there, the lady, the presenter, had newspapers, regular newspapers, sitting out on all the tables. I'm like, oh, I wonder what that's about here. And she starts off like this. She goes, okay, everybody. She said, see those newspapers in the center? Fold yourself a hat out of those newspapers. You know, like one of those sailor hats of old. And she goes, fold a hat for yourself. I'm giving you 3 minutes. At the end of 3 minutes, put on your head whatever you have. You know, higher achiever types hate that. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I know what that hat looks like. And I know that I've done that before, but gosh, it's been a long time. And I don't know. So I kind of look around like, you know, can I get some tips here? But it was too detailed a job. If you didn't know what you were doing or you didn't know where to get started, just looking around real quick wasn't giving it to you. So at the end of 3 minutes, I pretty much looked like this.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah. It was pretty sad. And then what we got to talking about is that team building and being on a team and having a good team is a little like making that paper happen. We've all seen those. We all know somebody who's a new one. We maybe been on a great team in the past, and we kind of knew what that felt like, but it's a very detailed job to have a good team. And it's not something I can quickly copy, like, oh, I can tell him, it's such a great team. I want to do everything he does. I can't do it. It's too detailed if I'm not really ready to, you know, roll up my sleeves and get in there and be a team. And so tonight we're going to talk about that. Everybody knows what good teams look like. Everybody knows what the characteristics are. But tonight we're going to review a few of those and not look like this.
So, I'm going to start off by asking you to pick a shape. Pick a shape, any shape. No, actually, just one of these. Which shape is most like you? Make a choice. Oh, you don't have to. Yeah, that's what I've said that before. If you draw me, it's always with circles, but not unlike any other shape. Pick a shape. Because I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you about your shape. So you ready? Okay. Who picked square? You did? Well, let me tell you what it says. He's the only square in here? No offense.
It's a square.
Yeah. Well, squares, you know what? Squares are hard workers.
I'm a square too.
Oh! It's too late to be a square.
Too late to be a square.
Squares are hard workers, but they can be sometimes very traditional and conservative, both in manner and dress. They are followers of rules, time, schedules, and budgets. They plan extensively, and they like to know why. Squares are very into statistics. They are checks and balances. They give groups purpose. They don't like playing games. As a square, you might have already been sitting there going, why do I have to pick one of these shapes? They're work-oriented, they're good at their job, and they can get work done. They're good leaders, but they like to have their own way. No. And that's our square. Who picked circle? Anybody pick circle? All right, circles, you're nurturers. You're people. You have trouble saying no. And you find yourselves on every committee, volunteering for everything. You tend to mother your family and your friends. You frequently do so much for other people, you don't have time for yourself, circles. They're peace lovers.
Peace lovers.
And they love to party. They like to go out, and they like to talk.
We do.
Circles drive squares and triangles crazy. But remember this about circles. They're good listeners and they're good team players. What about triangles? Who's a triangle in here? Now they're like, what is she going to say about me?
I was a Z.
All right, well, I'm still coming up to you.
I was a Z.
I'm a Z. You know what? I hate to tell you I'm a Z too, but wait we find out what. Triangles never really know where they belong. Triangles hesitated writing down a symbol that picked them. They're lots of times not team players. They work best by themselves or as chairman of the group. They are what we call bottom line people. They don't want to hear long-winded reasons or stories. They say, cut to the garbage and give me the points.
Just for facts.
They want you to tell them what they want and when it's due. They get bored with details. Mm-hmm. Triangles tend to argue.
No.
And they can cut you to the quick with just a look. But if the job has to get done and by a deadline, you can always depend on a triangle to do it for you. And Z.
Yeah, but can they rumba?
No, those would be a circle. Find yourself a circle for that. Or a Z. So let me tell you about Zs. I just have one Z, Lawrence, a Z. Z's are those people who make life fun for everyone else. Look, she brought a little Christmas gift to everybody today. They add zest and flair to the group. They're highly creative. And they don't want to pay as much attention to budgets and deadlines. They're loose cannons sometimes. And they like to be different. And sometimes they'll have weird hairstyles and outrageous colors. And they need... Z's need triangles and squares to bring them down to earth. They like to have their own way, but they don't like being told what to do.
Z's forget sometimes where they're going, where they park, where the meeting is. They may not be punctual and they may be messy. The other shapes talk about the Z's behind their back. But they don't really care. But Z's don't really care.
See?
Now, here's
your thing. Can you repeat that?
The Z's talk about the others behind their back. Or no, other people talk about the Z's behind their back. Yeah. A group of only squares would seldom be very progressive.
Right.
A group of only circles may not find a leader easily. A group of triangles may find themselves fighting over who's in charge.
They kill each other.
And a group of Z's may never meet a deadline. But together, all these shapes make a tip-top team. So it's good to have a little bit of everything here. By the way, I'm most often a Z. You know why? Because it's the only open shape. Everything
that's
else
seems
to be. Is that a shape or is that a letter?
Well, in my world.
That's why I'm not a Z, right?
Yeah, that's why you're not a Z.
I was thinking Z because I had no boundaries.
Yes. By the way, with this is taken by most Americans, here's where that fall out. 55% of the people will be circles. 10% will be squares, 10% will be triangles, and 25 of us are out there being our getting our Z on. All right? Getting our Z on. So in your packet now, I think it's a beige-colored sheet. There's a little bit of a note-taker on good team. So I'll give you some things to fill in here. This is the 5 C's of team success. If you want to have a successful team, you want to build it on these 5 C's. The number one is character. Is character. Number two is caring. You know, the thing about a team and why they win together and do things together well is because they care about each other. And they care about those people that are on their team. You guys are a unique team because you have kind of a team of constituents that are your team, and then you're also working with this team as well. A third one is commitment. Commitment. And when I said to someone today, oh, is this your last board meeting before Christmas? Lori told me, no, we've got two more. Two more? Good heavens, guys. That's what commitment looks like. Is being here and coming and working hard and late into the night. Good teams have confidence. Blizzard confidence is what I'd like to say. Yeah, blizzard confidence. So that's another one. And the last one is good teams have communication. I've done team building. I've been a trainer for 20 years. And when I do team building, it's always the number one thing that people tell me is lacking in their team. And most of the time I find out not so much lacking, but everybody would like more communication.
Yeah, sure.
And the more that you know, the better are you able to make good decisions. That's communication, communication, communication. Those are the 5 C's of team success. And then there's some key traits of a real team, and I didn't want you to have to write all those down, so I put them on your sheet already. But here they are. It's trust. And trust has to be about knowing that your teammate is there for you, knowing that we're all, again, responsible guardians of the public's trust. The next is empowerment. No team feels like they can do their job well if they're not empowered to do so. You know, we have these campus improvement teams or campus improvement committees out at the campus. Sometimes people, when they talk to me, they go, well, yeah, but we make a decision, but we never feel like it goes anywhere. Well, yeah, and then the next year they don't want to be on it again. Yeah, no kidding. Who would? If you feel like you're not empowered to do things. Authentic participation is the other thing. Sometimes we invite certain members to, well, we're going to have everybody on our team, but you're just here to sort of watch. And you don't get to vote, and you don't get to this. Or, well, pretty soon, where's your commitment going to be if it's not authentic participation? We're just here to sign off on things, right? That's not authentic participation. We have the ability to manage conflict is a key trait of a real team, because there's not a team that doesn't fit. I will have to say, when it comes to conflict and challenge in the last couple of years, I may have everybody beat, or my district may have everybody beat, but I will say every team faces conflict of one sort or another. Basic communication skills are key traits of a real team. Use of delegation to help others learn. Even though I am a Z, sometimes I get a little bit triangle-like, and I want things done just a certain way, and so I do it myself. And that does not help anybody else get better at what they do if I don't get them engaged and at least show them how to do that. And so when people are new to our building, here's the first thing I do. Let me show you every nook and cranny. Let there be no space in this place that you do not know about. Let there be no machine that you don't know how to turn on. No door that you're afraid to knock on. Nothing that's locked.
The history of it.
Yeah, even some of that. But if you needed an extra table or some more chairs, let me show you where those are. Because that's what you're going to be, those are the kinds of things that make you feel a part of this team. And willingness to embrace innovation, creativity, and risk-taking. Innovation, creativity, risk-taking. Does anybody watch football in here? I'm a big Notre Dame fan. I came from a big Irish family. No?
I'm a USC fan.
Oh, no. Bless your heart. I'm so sorry that we had God on our side and all. But anyway, it was a tough game.
We got two Irish people in line.
Anyway.
Not everyone can be the chosen.
I have to say that. You have to give it up to them in some ways, though. They started off the year not even ranked, and now they're going into the championship game. You had to do some risk-taking, some innovation. So, I don't know. Rosaries on the side. I don't know. I think that was going for them, too. But that's where you find some of that success. Also, a key trace of a real team is leadership. Leadership. And I always try to empower everybody on the team that, you know, I give things to my secretary to run off. I say, well, I want these things in color, but they can be any color you want. Well, the one time when I came back, and I don't know what color you want. I really don't care. It must be boring all day to run off somebody else's stuff. You make the choice. There's lots of colors. The first time it came back with such wild colors, I did have to say, I didn't like it, but I kept it to myself because everybody should have a chance to make choices during the day. Or what's the day like, you know? So I just wanted to call and do it whatever. Do it, what moves you right now. Make me shine. You make me look good. Decision-making skills. And as I work with campus improvement teams, our preferred method of reaching decisions is consensus. But it's not always possible. But there are times when we have to be expeditious. There are times when leaders are privy to information that is not available to all the people on the decision-making team. And so you have to make your best choice every day based on the information you had that day. And using as your filter, we will do the right thing for kids. That's all that we can do. That's all I can ask for. Integration of personalities. That's a key trait of a real team. Boy, that's hard. Sometimes you say you're the new guy, and you're like USC besides? Good heavens.
He's strong.
He's strong? And so when you're a new guy, you know, the rest of the team has to try and embrace that personality, embrace that, and integrate somebody into the team. Because we're not a stronger team if we're all together and we leave somebody out of it. We've got to, you know, nice matters. A need for constructive change. Goals and objectives. Because I could just talk about I really need a new car, which I do. But unless I start setting some real goals to getting there, it's just not going to happen. And training. Oh, how did that slip onto my list? But it's true. We have to invest some time in all good teams to think about training again. To think about sharpening our saw, getting better at what we do. And at the heart of that is training. I had a teacher come to training this week. She goes, oh, just to get ready for the sub, and I hate leaving my kids, and it's so close to Christmas, and it's on, and I finally said, you know what? You deserve this. You work hard. You're going to learn some things today, take that to your camp, to your classroom. It's going to be even better tomorrow. And so, good for you that you made this commitment to being a lifelong learner and coming here today. Nobody faults you for it. But she's kind of one of those old school, and I just hate to have a fun. But it's fine. And I said, I'm going to come back at the end of the day. You tell me whether you didn't find something you could use in your classroom tomorrow, and be glad that you took out some time for training. So now I'm going to ask you all, as you look at this list, if you look at the list there, what would you say are your top three? Take a minute just individually and write down three that you say out of that list that you say, I think these are some key things, not necessarily that you need, but just some key things important to you.
within...
Yeah, within that list.
Right, within the team?
Yeah, some things that you think are important in this team. Some things you see here that you know make you all click.
I'm going to take a little rough tally here and see what you have. I'm just going to go through and get one, and then two, and then three, okay? So give me one of the things that you wrote next.
Trust.
Trust.
Authentic participation.
Lauren. Just your first one.
Trust.
Amen.
Trust.
Right now, ability to manage conflict.
Decision-making skills.
I like the way that's worded, decision-making skills. Not just decision-making, because you have to make decisions, but being skilled at it, that's a different thing, isn't it?
Trust.
Rachel.
Basic communication skills.
Let's go through and do number two.
Communication skills.
Willingness to embrace innovation, creativity, and reputation.
There you go.
Authentic participation. Authentic participation. Did you copy from me? Oh, okay.
Use of delegation to help others learn.
Okay.
Need for constructive change.
Need for constructive change.
What was that?
Yeah.
Communication.
Trust.
Round three.
Decision making skills. Trust.
Basic communication skills.
I'm going to separate you two. One will be way.
Willingness to embrace innovation, creativity, and risk taking.
Okay.
Copy.
He did. Okay.
She did. Commitment.
Authentic participation.
Okay. Well, let's look and see what we have here that's gotten sort of the most votes. You know what's number one?
Trust.
And the next one is basic communication skills. I told you, every team I work with, everybody's saying, we need to be able to communicate. And sometimes to communicate well, we have to dial down our own personalities and really listen to others, right?
In fact.
What else do you think is, we want to talk about basic communication skills? What are you thinking of?
Well, some people forget that listening is part of basic communication.
Yeah. To listen and have people know that you care because you're listening. I mean, that's how you honor another person's thoughts, really, is you listen to what they have to say. And let me go back to trust for a minute. If trust were perfect at CISD, what would be some of the evidence I would look at to see that trust was there?
Smiles on their faces.
Okay. I mean, it's tough. You know? What does trust look like? What does trust sound like? Because sometimes if we can't get things that we care about down to that level, what does it look like? What does it sound like? I used to teach little ones. And what I did, I'd have a rule up like this. We will respect each other in this room. Do you know what that means? Well, what's rule number one? We will respect each other. They're not respect. Because I had to realize that we don't all define respect and trust and those kinds of things in the same way. I taught next to a guy who said, respect means they will call me sir. They will do this. They had such rules. I didn't even call him sir, but I did after that. And I thought, well, you know, if we don't have a shared idea of what respect sounds like and looks like, I'm not going to see it because I haven't defined it. I'm getting kids from all over the place who have different experiential backgrounds, who may or may not trust in their family or basic communication, or respect looks different than it does here. And sometimes I have to talk about those rules, yeah.
And that's where it goes to basic communication. Like, you know, some persons interpret pretty much anything differently. And if you don't have that type of communication, like one of my papers in college was bilingual education. You don't have that cross-cultural understanding and that respect. And you take that into everything, you know. If you don't communicate, she might think something is different than my interpretation, but if we communicate and have that cross-cultural understanding, even in dealing with cultures or, you know, a background, everything.
Even business, know? it's yeah. Cross-culture. Haven't bring it and valuing what other people bring to the table.
Right. My students at night sometimes they'll call me. They say I'm having trouble here, or that half of the time it has nothing to do with school. But they are second language learners. They're having trouble communicating what they need to communicate to someone, and because they're second language learners, they're not getting the respect they need from the people who are supposed to be helping them. And I said, would you like me to make that call for you? My whole family uses me to make calls. I can't tell you how, because that's what I do for a living. I communicate. And I can do so without anger, but I can also be very clear. And nobody messes with my students. That's why they could you talk to this counselor? I can. You bet I can. And I can not have sore feelings later, but I can't be very clear because you need some help. That's what they're there for. So those are the kinds of, like, for me to just say I don't trust you, square, and not be able to define what kind of behaviors I find untrustworthy is not fair to you. It doesn't build trust if I can't communicate to you what I find less than trustworthy, right? After that, and the third one that was the most popular in here was authentic participation. Why so? Why do you think that came up here? What's the deal? Annette, what are you thinking?
Well, I think authentic participation goes right into trust and basic communication skills. If you're just there to, okay, if you can't say to someone, I disagree with that, or was that the appropriate decision, or okay, I have a problem with the way that was said, then, you know, you have to have basic communications to say that without saying, hey, you know, that was a stupid remark. Why'd you say that?
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right.
You have to be able, but I think authentic participation and trust go hand in hand, because you can't have authentic participation if you don't trust each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's, in, you know, I'm coming from a building level. If you don't have these three things in your team, then your building's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I see that. I see that.
I see the
correlation between a building and then, like, to the members of the board, because you have to have these all together.
Yeah.
And then, so I just see them going hand in hand.
Well, you know, I was doing a campus improvement team training one day, and this teacher came up to me almost in tears. Oh, I'm so unhappy at my school. Why are you so unhappy at your school? Because she was on CIT. My principal won't listen. We have a new principal. He won't listen to me. He won't listen to anything we say. Drat. Really? And I said, so is he making a lot of decisions that you're very unhappy with? Oh, no. Everything he's done is fine. He just doesn't listen to us. And I said, so you like what's going on, you just wish you had more authentic participation in that. And the other thing about that is, when you give authentic participation, when people feel like they're involved in a real way, they're also responsible for the success, and accountable for it. And they feel good about it later, because it wasn't just your success, it was our success. And that's why authentic participation is so important. But it has to come from trust. And I ended up going out and just working with that, and I really think what happened is they just had a very different leadership style that came in, and there was just some real need for people to talk and talk it out. Well, the last principal asked us about everything. Now, by the way, and sometimes did whatever he darn well pleased, but asked us anyway. And this guy was just forgetting to ask, just forgetting to communicate. And what a difference it made. What a difference it made for the team. So, just thinking of what you put here and what you're thinking of, decision-making skills was also mentioned by more than one person. And delegating and need for constructive change. I mean, I guess that's really at the heart of the work you do. Constructive change. Change is the one thing we can count on in life. And as our schools seek ever-improving standards, to meet ever-improving standards, you have to be ready to change with the times. So, okay, well, like I said, everybody knows what good teams like. They need to know what they care about in teams. But it's not so easy to play out. And so we'll talk a little bit more as we do some other teaming here. I decided to use this book as part of my, have any of you read this book, The Servant, by James Hunter? It's a good book. It's an easy read, and it's got some just real solid tenets in it. And so I decided to use the first three chapters as a part of our talk here tonight. It's a simple story about the true essence of leadership. And in the first chapter, I believe I gave you a handout for three different handouts now for each of the chapters. I'm not going to go over in great detail, but we're going to look at it a little bit. So we'll do the orange one, and then the pink, and then the sort of, I think it's just white or gray maybe. So the essence of the first chapter was about power versus authority. And this is kind of an interesting notion to me. Remember I told you about that campus? A new principal was coming in, but those secretaries had all been there so long that they'd been running the ship forever. The principal had the power, but he understood that they had a lot of authority. You know, and the difference between power and authority, power is invested in me, right? I'm a judge, or I'm a this, or I'm a principal. Authority is something you get because people will willingly do what you want them to do. You have that kind of influence. And we all know people like that. They don't hold any position of great power, but they have all kinds of authority with the community. Don't you have some people, some constituents like that? Don't you know who you better call if there's going to be something coming up? Okay. Not because they're president, but because they know they've got the savvy out there. They know they've got the authority, right? So power versus authority is the first thing. And I have some examples here. Anybody ever watch the old program MASH? This guy had the power. But this guy had the authority. Who could get things done? Radar O'Reilly, right? He could call up and get his orders filled and everything else. This guy didn't even know what he was signing. He had the power. He was a colonel. That guy had the authority. How about this? She's got the power. She's got in her country, she's got the power, right? But this lady still has a lot of authority. Still has a lot of authority. Still influencing things in that country long after her death. That's amazing authority, right? How about this lady from Snow White? She's got the power. Well, look at this girl. She's got the authority. Look, even the animals know who to go to. Power versus authority. So, while positions of power are nice to have, you always have to balance that out with what real influence do I have? I mean, power gives me a vote. Authority gives me the whole board, right? Authority gives me the majority. You have meetings here, and you guys are in power, but all the authority people come talk to you, don't they? I'll go to this, I'll do that, I have the influence, I have, they have a whole petition, right? That's authority.
The next thing in the next chapter, and well, no, let's look at that handout though first. It's the pink one. So, oh, I'm sorry, it's orange. It sure is orange.
Power is the ability to force or coerce someone to do your will, even if they would choose not to, because your position or might. But authority is the skill of getting people to willingly do your will because of your personal influence. One of my best friends is really like that. I mean, she's got authority like nobody's business. She can get on the phone and call 10 people and get anything done in the world. I always say, you know, there'll be favors in hell, and my friend will know who to call. When I get there, I'm covered. Right? So, can you think of some people that you've known who have authority versus power? And are there some teachers, in this case, teachers in your school, or some people in your organization whose authority or influence makes your job tough? Yeah? Anybody have some thoughts on that? I mean, it's food for thought, isn't it? Wow, so-and-so. Well, they don't have the power. I'm so-and-so. Yeah, they've got the authority, though. Wow, they got the authority. And until I can get both, and sometimes you get into a position of power, and by the time people know who you really are, you have the authority, too. You win their hearts. But people who have both, the book, the example they give is so powerful. The Pope has the power, but Mother Teresa?
And the authority.
And the authority. The authority, worldwide authority. She could not have been more powerless. She wasn't even a woman of stature. She wasn't a woman of wealth. She wasn't a woman of rank. She had authority. Oh my God, world leaders came to her to find out what to do. Power versus authority. And then there's some suggestions where others call for your use of authority, and can you think of examples like that? You guys have got to be in the authority business. Don't you get calls all the time? Like, hey, Letty, fix this for me. Letty, this. Like, you know, people call you all the time. I mean, that what they're saying is, you have the power, but I'm telling you, the authority behind you has got your back, right? Letty, and that's how you get elected even, right?
Fix the calendar.
Fix the calendar, Letty?
The calendar.
Yeah? Well, Paul Andrew, is it?
There's a big issue with the calendar.
All those calendar issues. Do you know when we're going back from Christmas? We get off for Christmas break next Friday. Do you know when we're going back?
Yeah,
January 4th on a Friday.
Okay, you want to go tell them?
Yeah. I expect.
Tell them that.
Here's what I expect. High absenteeism.
Tell them that, Adrian.
High absenteeism.
Yeah, my
kind of
calendar is wrong.
Okay, well, then, Letty, get the authority going.
I love that.
Get the authority going and get it done.
I think that's a great thing. I think we'll say, yeah, we'll get back on the board.
Is that what you guys are doing too?
Kids don't come back until 7th.
Yeah, see, we come back on the 4th, and it's just a work day,
too.
Yeah. That's an issue. I mean, but it's hard. Like, last year, we came back on the 2nd.
Yeah, it was horrible.
On the 2nd.
It was worse than last year.
Happy
New Year. You need to be part of DIRC.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, the next chapter, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about paradigms. You all know about paradigms and how what things that happen. And paradigms can be very helpful because when used appropriately, paradigms help us, you know, put our world in order. Paradigms help us figure out what's going on. I mean, our whole brain is set up to look for patterns, and paradigms are a type of pattern. But they can be dangerous when we assume that they're never changing and all-encompassing truths, and they allow them to filter out new information and changing times. So I'm going to just show you some things here and see what your paradigm or what sense you make out of it. These are some optical illusions. Well, first of all, a little quote from Mark Twain. If a cat sits on a hot stove, that cat won't sit on a hot stove again. But the cat won't sit on a cold stove either. That cat just don't like stoves.
Well, of course, it's not about that, but what's a cat learn from the first experience? But that's dangerous.
They're gonna trust them.
So they're never going to trust them again. And so that's an example of a paradigm that worked once, but may not work forever. And that can be dangerous for school boards or any group of authority that kind of get into that, where we think this is the only way things have to be.
So here's some other example. Look, this chick comes out of the egg. Oh, wow, paradigm shift. His entire world had been encompassed. That's a paradigm shift when the world opens up to you. There aren't any icons to click. It's a chalkboard. That's old school. But you have kids who are just used to icons. What's your paradigm telling you this is? A cat or a very angry mouse?
Have both, it looks like.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now look at this. This looks like a scary situation. Unless you shift your paradigm. And now you're in a peaceful boat with a large fish swimming by, and there's an island near. Let me go back and show that to you again. Like a giant dodo has got me in his clutches. Or I'm in a peaceful boat.
Oh, yeah. And a big old fish. Yep,
yeah.
I see it.
There's the boat.
Look away and look at it again.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm still looking at the whales. That's what the problem is.
Yeah. Those now become trees.
Yes.
Let me flip it again.
Grass. Like cheapy spring.
Look at that.
And the boat and the canoe.
Yep, see the fish?
Yeah.
The fish.
All right, now here we're going to do a little activity. Everybody. While you're sitting, lift your right foot off the ground and make clockwise circles with it. Clockwise circles with it. Now, oh, wait a minute, don't do that. While doing that, write the number 6 in the air with your right hand. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Did it make your foot go there back the other way? Some of you are now just kicking.
I didn't go back, it just...
It's just, yeah. No offense, sir, but that is because you were squirting. We all learned that earlier tonight.
Right, what happened to you?
Yeah.
I was doing
it
right.
I did this.
Yeah.
The finger, the leg was
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, the leg was the okay, but now the finger can't do a 6. So here's the thing. Paradigms can cause us to do things we don't want to do because it forces us into thinking in only one way. That's dangerous for teams. So here was an old paradigm. Here was an old paradigm that you had a general or a CEO that's at the top, and then underneath there's vice presidents or colonels, middle managers, captains and lieutenants, supervisors, sergeants, employees, grunts, troops. And on the outside, there's the customer. That's an old paradigm. And here's how this works. Everybody's working to make the one above them happy. If I can just keep this guy off my back, this guy's thinking, if I can just keep this guy off my back, and so on, right? And it kind of leaves out, now in a military situation, that's just how it has to be. You do want the enemy on the outside. But let's look at that when it becomes a school. Superintendent says, I don't want the board mad. So he tells the district administrators better get it pulled together, or she tells them that. Campus administrators are told by the district administrators what to do. It comes down to the teachers. Teachers, this is what you will do. And where does it put the students? I got to tell you guys, when I was doing this, reading this book and this chapter, this diagram worries me. This diagram worries me. Because I spent 20 years in central office, primarily doing training. That distances me from kids. And it makes it harder for me to come up with direct connections to what I do that changes what happens for them. And I've dedicated my life to education. And yet I wonder, am I in this? Am I trying to make my boss happy so my boss can look good for their boss, so that boss can look good for somebody else, so that boss can look, and so the board is happy? Where does that put children? You know, when your niece and nephew were here today, I kind of thought, well, that's kind of cool. Even if they'd stayed, because really, all this work is about them. Not just them, but it's all about kids, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so we have to make sure that maybe we don't look at this paradigm and that we look at this one instead. that businesses that are successful in modern times have all put their customers at the top. Mm-hmm. And the customer, and knowing that the person closest to the customer is the associate mm-hmm. that works with them, keeping those people happy, keeping those people saying, I love what I do and I love where I do it. And the people who serve them are the supervisors, and the supervisors are served by the middle managers and the vice president and the CEO. They're all devoting their life to the service of those people who come closest to laying their real hands on children. That's what it looks like for a school version. I don't want to ever get too distant from what I do to not be able to say, this that I'm spending time with right now had an influence on those children. That's what I dedicated my whole life to, right? And I was worried about that kind of paradigm, and I really had to think about that, and I think we all need to take some time to reflect on that. Are our students, and not just we're talking it, but really, are we making them at the top of our pyramid, and are all the rest of us in service to those people who are closest to that customer, right? It's kind of tough for me. So, what do we have to rethink in order to accept the changes in our paradigm? And one of the things I had to rethink as a trainer is to be able to say this every time. I will not waste a teacher's time. Mm-hmm. By the way, when I'm done, I'm done. If it's 15 minutes early, we're going, people. I'm giving you those 15 minutes and stop worrying about the time so much. I'm going to do things in my work that are real and authentic and can be used the next day. I'm not just going to talk about theory, though I love the theory. That makes me a little square, but I love the theory. I got to have something you can use tomorrow. And so nobody walks out before I can say, what can you do tomorrow? What's going to be best for kids? How do you think this connects with your students? Why do you think this will work for you? If I don't take some time to do that so they can make those connections, I don't want to do that workshop. And it made me really rethink some of the things that I was kind of putting people through instead of really saying, how does this work best for kids? What do you all think about that paradigm? Mm-hmm. About the kids at the top mm-hmm. and the service in all the rest of us. That's the service that we provide, right? Yeah? Committed to it? It's tough, though. You know?
I'm the newest member here. I think I've experienced one of the biggest paradigm shifts.
Yeah?
Tell me how.
You have a picture of the board and yeah. what they do and who they are and how they act and how they decide because you're on the outside. You don't see the inside of it, of really why they're doing it. And I have to be able to say, I apologize for what I did prepare before because it was something that unless you do it, you can't really appreciate the amount of commitment. And it was... The first meeting was actually a very intense meeting. You guys remember that one. It was a very interesting meeting. And to walk into such a situation and to see everybody had the same commitment. Everybody had the same participation. Everyone had their sort of take on it. But it was inspiring in the sense of, wow, okay, I made the right decision, even though it was tough to get elected. It was one of those things, okay, it was worth it. But it wasn't anything what I'd expected.
Really?
Nothing. Because you hear so much stuff out there.
Well, yeah. And the board, by virtue kind of how it's set up, it's a little stilted. You know, sometimes you listen to things and maybe you're not even commenting or anything. I presented before the board, I can tell you it's terrifying. I was scared to come here tonight. Ah! I mean,
afraid.
I've been watching the news here. Are you all sure you want me to come?
No, she did.
You know I'm from the PISC, right? Is that going to be okay? I mean, you guys work too hard to have somebody come and think, you know, oh yeah, let's have EPIC come over and tell us how to do it. Yeah. It's a great idea. Wow. You know, this one, right? Oh, I mean, with service. Because I have to honor the work you guys do. I have to honor the work you guys do. And part of that is that, you know,
And it's funny that you'd say completely different.
I'm also in the media, so you can understand that.
Yeah.
You only see what we want you to see in the media.
Yeah.
So it's,
I figured out that a long time
it's
ago.
Ugly. It's ugly.
A long time ago.
You didn't believe it, but I think in this community, because it's so small.
And
everyone here, I mean, half of us are related.
El Paso is the biggest small community that I've known, right? Yeah. Everybody's related.
Everybody knows somebody.
In the course of my work a couple of weeks ago, I called Round Rock ISDs just for some information about something, a program they had that was similar to ours. And I said, hello, my name is Kathy Seifert. I work with the El Paso Independent School District. And I hear this, ooh. Hey, I can hear you. You know.
Hello.
Hello. I beg your pardon. You know.
Hello.
Because it's real, and I can't escape it. And holding your head up every day.
Yes.
And keeping your enthusiasm and not getting too short during the day to be able to drive home at night has been a challenge. Because I don't say this superficially, I love my district. I've worked for my district since I was 21 years old. My son's a product of this my district, and now a teacher in this district. Ha. Got one.
In this district?
In my own district.
Okay.
And so I can't help but to still have a great deal of pride in my district, as you all do. Because nobody would do this if they didn't care about the community. And so I think you're right. I don't think people always do have the right impression of how you do things, how you arrive at decisions, how you have to make hard choices based on information that you have that maybe they don't.
That's the key right there.
Yeah.
To be able to go home and tell yourself, I made the best decision I knew how to make. With the information I had in front of me.
Exactly.
And sometimes that's hard for people to understand.
Oh, it is.
Like, you idiots.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Exactly what you hear out here. I mean,
why would you do that? Yeah, it's so easy to be from the outside and look at that and say, what, you know?
And, coming from a building, I was a building principal for 10 years, and they come in to the other side.
Oh yeah.
That's what they exactly said. You crossed to the dark side.
Yeah.
And this was principals.
Oh, I think he said that for.
And I went like this, and I talk about it, and I have to tell them. I said, if there's something wrong, I said, pick up the phone, call us. I said, I don't wake up in the morning and say, how can I pick somebody off today? Honestly, I don't. I know. I said, if I did, I'd have a lot more than just you that'd be pissed off. That was my commitment. I could do it. But, and you have to listen. It's exactly what Adrian said. It's when you're coming over and you have to make unpopular decisions sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Even when people say and coming at you and they're saying stuff. So.
Since I have worked at central office for so long, principals came all the time and come and be my boss. And they walk right in and they go, this unit's going to run better now because I'm here and I know what principals. The last principal I had, Jenny, she came and she goes, all the principals want this. Really? They all do? Yeah. I'm going to put it all in a letter and send it out. Well, one day before phone calls started happening, I said, you know what? There's 100 of them. 100 principal signs. 100 of them. Do you really think they all want anything that's the same?
That's it.
At three different levels. And I said, I know it's easy to think that if I were at Central, I would know exactly how to get that done. But it's so much harder than And it, the diversity, it just.
And there's processes and policies.
Oh, yeah. You think, it's so easy to do that. Why don't you just go and do this? Oh, yeah. Okay, we can do that. What's that law and policies? Why do we bother with that? Just go ahead and do it. So the job is different when you get here, and the challenges are great, and the resources are limited.
Yes.
And so making the best decision that you can every day based on the information you have. One of the hardest things I ever did in my life was serve on a jury. I always seemed kind of exciting on television. It's not. And it was a murder trial, and it was devastating. And in the end, we had to make a tough decision. And I do believe it should have been the right one. But I cried all the way home. Even good decisions, even the right decisions, are hard decisions. And for us circles, it tears at our hearts to do so. So, anyway, so what are we going to have to do to rethink our paradigm? How are we going to communicate to people who don't understand, who elected you because you were going to go in there, be a fireball, and change everything else and make it right, and you're having to say, you don't get it. It's
different. I have to change my number. That's how bad.
It's different than I thought it was going to be. It's a lot different than I thought it was going to be.
Now they talk about giving away. Yes.
It only took a week. They said it only took a week.
It's one campus. You can imagine which campus.
Oh, you have a direct affiliation with that. I know. Hey,
you think my wife would be on my side?
Oh, yes, sir.
Let me tell you what happened for me when I first got on the board, and it took me a couple, after a few years, is that I found exactly about the paradigm you're talking about, is that, and I think it's a lot of it has to do with the way the state regulations and everything is.
Yeah.
Is that they say, oh, student-centered focus first, whatever, but it's not. It's not, because everybody's decision-making part is far removed from the students. And when I first made a comment about, well, why can't we ask the students about, let's see what they think of their team. Oh, you can't do that. Because you can't use it for whatever. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, we don't want to use it to evaluate them. The first thing that people would think is the teachers, oh, you can't use it to evaluate. It's illegal. You can't use it or whatever. You know? It's not for that purpose.
Right.
People get all bent out of shape. That's not the way it is.
But remember, the S is solicit input.
Yeah.
Find out how it's going. Find out what people think.
Exactly. But I think we're on the right path. We've gotten a couple years under our belt of different surveys of the students, and we're going to expand it next year. And I think we're going to shift it completely on its head.
Well, there you go. I have a couple thoughts about that. Oh, yeah, teaching at night at community college, we do give our students evaluations. Mm-hmm. But one of my students this time is fresh from high school. And he says, and he goes, an evaluator test? The first thing he said, well, no, actually, this is your evaluation. I'm going to leave, and so-and-so is going to monitor this.
Yeah.
And you give feedback on me. You're a kid. He says, I go, no. And he says, wow. He starts looking it over and everything. And I said, by the way, use your power for good, not for evil. I tell teachers that all the time, too, really. Anybody remember having a really great teacher? You remember what she looked like or he looked like? Remember their name and everything else? Anybody remember the name or what they looked like of a really bad teacher?
Ms. Schmaltz.
You know, or, really, yeah.
Mr. Brown.
Yeah, Sister Berkman, see? Anyway, so here's the thing. I'm old enough now that some of my teachers' names escape me. I don't know who I am, fourth grade now or somebody. And I say to teachers all the time, you have the power to be memorable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To be very memorable. Absolutely. Like life-altering, lifelong, memorable.
And principals even have it too.
They are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because use your power for good.
Yes.
They will remember you if you're on either end of the spectrum. And I'd rather be remembered than not. But I will be a good witch, I promise. And I think Hector was nice on that evaluation, but he was so tickled that he got to do that. We also had a system that you get two chances at the final. If you don't pass the first time, you get to take it again. You're kidding, he said. I said, you like college, don't you? He said, I do. I love everything about this. Attaboy. Stay in there. So we do have some conflict sometimes, don't we? I'll get back to the last chapter of the book, but we do have some conflict. Every single team that I know deals and struggles with conflict, so let's talk about it a little bit. There's different kinds of conflicts. There's level one conflicts. That's a disagreement on facts and data. And sometimes that's just getting the right report.
Yeah.
That's just looking at the right. It's the kind of thing we don't need to argue about.
Let's get the right numbers. What are the right numbers? I'm not even going to make a decision tonight until I get the right numbers, because I've got to have accurate facts and data. That's not worth fighting over. Level two is a disagreement about methodology. I don't think I train like some other people. I tell a lot of stories. Some other people don't do that. It doesn't matter. So as long as we get to the same end point, right? So disagreeing on methodology, you do it one way, I do it another way. We both get to the same place. What?
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares, right? Disagreement on goals. Now that one gets a little tougher.
Yeah.
Disagreement on goals. If we haven't decided as a team where we want to go, if we haven't thought long and hard about what it is we really want, and as I looked at yours, there, you know, there's some qualifying things in there. I want to improve attendance by this amount. I want to do this. I want to do that. Those kinds of goals. If you haven't had a disagreement, you know, then that's a long discussion. And if you can't agree, you have to keep in there too. That's where that commitment comes up. Level four gets harder too. Even after you've decided on goals, if you have a disagreement about priorities. What are our priorities? What do we need to really finish, for instance, this year? What do we need to finish this night? What do we need to finish? Why is your issue coming on the agenda before hers? Why is it a greater priority? Are these things really leveled as a priority, or can we handle several things during the same time period? But the level five is always the worst, and it's about different values.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's always the greatest conflict. Because we sometimes make this assumption that everybody has the same values we do, like about things like work ethic or things about commitment or about children. We assume, well, everybody thinks the way I do. And then when I find out they don't, it's like a real, uh-oh, you mean you do this? You know, I talk about people about holiday traditions. You know, when I first got married, you open your gifts on Christmas Eve? Ooh, and I married you? Oh, no, this has got to be put to side. It's not really a value, but you know, you can have little conflicts over that. That's really a methodology issue. But if we don't have the same values, it's going to be really hard for us to bring up a successful son together. And so those are the conflicts that are really, really where we have problems. So here's some practical tips I have. And you have this slide in your packet. Number one is listen, don't interrupt, try to understand the other team members' point of view. You have to really listen to people, and see if you can understand their point of view. Next is accept the right of another team member to disagree or have a different opinion. You don't think the way I'm doing that? What? Out of here, you know? Of course not.
Things.
Yeah, we have different opinions. And I'm going to accept your right to have that different opinion. In fact, do you know that some of that disagreement actually makes us stronger as a team?
Absolutely.
Because if we all just thought the same way about everything, yeah. State your opinions and feelings directly but calmly. That's why my students ask me to make calls for them. Because they get upset. They get frustrated when people get angry with them. And I can have a very calm demeanor. And I just, and I'm steady. And I won't let loose of it until it's done. Don't start the conversation with your mind made up. You know, I say this sometimes. Again, my husband and I have been married 32 years now. But we argue in the car. And the car arguments, I win every single car argument. You know why?
Because you drive.
Yeah, well, he's not there. I just had that argument, and I'm saying it to myself. If you ever pass me, on the freeway, and you see me going, yes, and it's because I'm winning that argument. When I get home, it doesn't always go one way. But in the car, I win every car argument, right? But here's what I have to really practice doing. Sometimes when he's talking to me, I have so set in my mind the script, and you're going off script, Square. But, you know, and I'm ready to say something that didn't match what you said because I had my mind made up before I got there, you know. I want to say, yeah, let's take a drive because I'm in this argument in the car. It's just the car that helps me out.
Not so many times. I don't know.
Don't start the conversation then with your mind made up. And don't compete and try to win all the time at the expense of others. Gee, that's hard. I had one person come to me the other day, did you get this change? And it was one secretary against the other. Yeah, I got that change. Was she mad? That's what she said to me. Was she mad when you changed it? And I said, gee, I don't know. I didn't approach it from can I make her mad? But you won. What can I say? You know? But sometimes the winning feels so good, we don't even like what we want, you know? It's not winning a chocolate dip cone, it's just winning the, you know, argument. So I also say this to people all the time too. We can't always have our way. Mm-hmm. But you gotta let people have their say.
That's right.
And if I can't have my way, if I've had my say, sometimes that's really all I want. That's not all what I really want.
I like those tips. One of the things somebody gave me, my principal at Bill Childress, and she said to me, and she goes, Annette, she goes, don't match their energy. She goes, the minute you match their energy, you've lost. And I went like this, and I sat down, and I go, why didn't somebody give me that advice 20 years before that? Because it works. The minute you get an angry parent that comes in,
right.
The minute an angry parent comes in, they're furious, and you go, whoa. Because I can feel your anger. Come on in. Come on in. And they just go, whoop.
Yeah, it was,
you know what I mean?
It was me having to learn, I will call you back within the hour on the status of your concern. They went, really?
Thanks.
Yeah, and then I did it. Hi, it's me again. Here's what I found out. Oh, I got this lady working for me, you know? You bet you do. You bet you do. I was upset with her. I had to go to a parent. I had personal issues. I needed to take the morning off, but I didn't get the morning off because I had to go talk to this lady again. So I went to the principal, to the superintendent, or associate superintendent, where I went. Yes, can I get you to sign this before I go? Thank you. Well, that's a transfer form. I said, yes. Well, it's not filled out. Yes, can you sign it anyway? Can we have some trust here, sir? Yes. So I signed. I take it and I went to the woman that day. Ma'am, I have a blank transfer form signed by our superintendent. Where do you want your child to go? Any school. You got it right there. Really? She thought about it for a minute. Oh, I don't want him to change school. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't? Okay, well, let's take this off the table. And then now, well, how can we be happy?
There you go. There you go.
Because this is still here. No, I don't do it. Okay. Well, then how can we be happy here? Because you got that. And I don't get those for everybody. I am keeping that one. But I don't
know. I'm going to have to ask him again. I like this.
That's ready. So then how can we be happy here? How can we be happy here? Come on. Work with me. One lady talked to me for 45 minutes. She was talking to me about homeschooling, how we could help provide some resources even though they were homeschooling. They call me at home because my name has an unusual spelling, and so it's in the phone book. So call me at home. My son was in about fourth or fifth grade at the time. Kind of kept walking by while I was talking. 45 minutes later, I get off. He said, there's such a thing as homeschool? I said, yes. And he said, and you're a teacher? Yes. And we're not doing this because finish your homework, go to bed. We're not doing this. Anyway, don't try to compete and win all the time at the expense of the others. You'll find that victory a shallow victory later. And because it wasn't made with the children in mind. Remember, we're putting those children at the top of our pyramid now. Here's some more. Stick to the present, not the past. Don't you love people? I've been married 32 years. You know, I remember every single discretion. I do. I remember that time. I remember that time. I remember that time.
You're kidding.
He goes, how come you can't remember anything else, but you can remember because I've got a list? And I refer to it before I became
lose your phone.
Yeah.
You can remember 4 years ago.
Yeah, when you didn't call me, and I told you to call me. That's right. Stick to the present, not the past. The past isn't going to help us get to where we need to go next.
My wife and my mother.
Yeah. Raise the level of discussion. You know, when people want to get real petty and ugly and in your face, raise the level of discussion. We raise the level of discussion, by the way, by lowering our voices.
That's right.
Whenever I want to calm people down, I speak lower and slower. Lower and slower.
raise the level of discussion by lowering the level of our voice.
Use rational, objective methods to solve the problem. Take a break.
Well, I need to just do that. Take a break. I'm just going to go walk this off a little bit, guys. I'll be back.
Good, right.
You know, and then we'll face it again. We'll face it again, and I'll bring a blank transfer, see if we can work it out.
And enjoy the rewards when you reach agreement. You know what? That's sometimes something we don't take enough time to do, is to clap.
I clap way too much. I go to the principal meeting, I clap all the time. People will finish saying, and yes, and you all need to fill out 5 more forms. Okay, let's thank him for coming here today to speak to all of us. I start all the clapping. Why don't people clap anymore? I went to the movies, I was there clapping. People were looking at me. My son said, nobody claps anymore, Mom. I do. If I watch the Academy Awards at home, which I do, I clap. Yay! I wanted you to win. I didn't like her at all. You need to win. Yay! We need to clap more. We need to be more excited about what we do. And when we have these victories, we need to make sure we stop and celebrate. Mm-hmm. We won this one. You know? You won this guy over. My goodness. He's had to change his phone number.
Yeah?
We have his number.
Yeah. Oh, that's why he changed it. Oh, I get it now. I misinterpreted that.
That's right, I did too.
Acting like Lily Maldonado.
She's my cousin.
She's my cousin too, trust me.
No, I'm
sorry, I see you at the family reunion, all right?
That is the worst part about caller ID, isn't it? People really have that choice anymore. Oh, I know who that is. I'm not feeling it. Stay positive and committed to service. And here's something that I would say. In the face of overwhelming optimism, pessimism loses its power. In the face of overwhelming optimism, pessimism loses its power. You've got to make those pessimists powerless because your optimism takes up all the space in the room.
So,
this last little chapter of the book I'll talk about for just a minute. And it's intentions minus actions equals squat. You know, I just love that word, squat. I don't think I can do it, but I like it.
So, you know, they say the road to hell is paved with
good intentions.
So if you have these all these great intentions, you want to do all this stuff, but you don't marry it up with actions, you got squat. You have got to have more than good intentions. Mm-hmm. You've got to be every day saying, now what are the actions that get me there? What are the actions that get me there?
But intentions plus actions equals will. And you will get done what you need to do by doing that. And so I'll tell you about three famous people who in fact have done that. One is Gandhi, and he said he was really the father of the nonviolent movement, in that he wanted to break any away from British rule, but he didn't want to do it through war, because he understood that that wasn't getting them, that they could not face this military power win. And so he did it all. He had such authority, not power.
Authority.
He was a small man, and he didn't have anything else against the British. He was powerless, and yet he influenced so many. And he said the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. That's what he dedicated his life to. And the next person I'm going to show you to actually went to visit Gandhi to find out how he could influence that, how he could take intentions and match them up with actions and get things done. And that was Dr. Martin Luther King. He says everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. And he went to Gandhi to find out, how do I change the world through civil rights in my country without doing it by spilling the blood of others? And he saw other people in our country trying to make those changes in ways that were violent and not succeeding. And yet his legacy continues. Was he a powerful man? He was a preacher. Did he hold high rank? No. Did he have an army behind him?
No, he had people walking, marching together.
And the last person I've talked to you about already, Mother Teresa. If we pray, we will believe. If we believe, we will love. If we love, we will serve.
If you love your community, as you knew, I know you do. If you love these children, as I know you do, and the constituents that help put you into this place, you will serve them well. And this Christmas season, I pray for all school boards and the work that they do, and the children's lives that they influence every day through both their power and authority.
And I want to thank you all, the CISD Board of Trustees, for your service to your community, for your attention tonight to the high level of professionalism you bring to everything you do, to keeping your head up and staying strong in times of great conflict. I admire that. I'm very limited. I always just do things in my own little district, and I got invited to another one, and I've been so happy to be here, and so happy to be here tonight to meet all of you, to work with your employees who are great people, who are dedicated, committed to children. And so thank you. Thank you for your service. Thanks for inviting me here tonight.
Thank you.
Would you like to clap a bunch?
Yes.
Yes, we're a bunch of clappers.
You're clapper. I like that.
We are a clapping board.
There you go.
Does anybody want to say something?
Yeah.
Oh.
Put it into the record there.
Yes.
And then you want to... cupcake, and then let's sing happy birthday cupcake, and then let's have a little bit of discussion if anybody wants to say something.
Okay.
And then we can. So let's.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rachel. Happy birthday.
Too bad I can't see mariachis like you do.
Rachel,
like my bling?
Woo! Sir, just go. Top notch, kiddo. We have a like your bling. I like your bling.
Where are you?
Thank you. I was seeing you in
Omaha. Thank you,
Tony. Let me see, for you, you're talking about teachers and how you remember your good ones, you remember your bad ones. She was a good one.
Oh.
She was the reason why I got into technology.
Well, good.
Yeah, thank you, Adrian. I told you I met somebody, one of my first year students. His name was Juan Fuyola. And I never could understand. But his name, I went like this, and I said, when I first saw the name, I cried. How am I going to pronounce U-L-L-O-A?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know how to pronounce it. And I never saw it. So I always just called. Remember, Adrian, I always just say Mr. Medina. Miss, you know what I mean? I had to call him Mr. Juan. Because I could never say no. And he told me he's an engineer by Siemens. Oh, and he goes, do you know how many engineers we have? And I said, what do you mean I have? He said, we counted them up. Just out of that first year. I said, oh my God, that first year. You know, and he just said, if you guys ever need anything, can you do?
That's been my favorite part of turning old, is that I have students. You know, Angelica, who used to write lecture for Negrete, or Esther Hughes, or Christine Cuevas, they were all my students. Christine has four kids. They came to work one day, and I said, you know, I knew your mother when she was little. They said, yes. I said, you want me to write you some things about her? Oh, they just rubbed their hands together. And I said, what? And I said, oh, she was just beautiful and kind and bright. And they said, oh, didn't you ever give her detention? Something we can, you know. No, I'm sorry. Nice kid then. She's still a nice kid. But she has four kids, one at home. How old am I? A million years.
I've decided when I see the grandchildren, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know, when I see the, I've just decided.
You haven't seen any of my classmates, have you? They have grandchildren already.
Oh, God. Well, it's okay. They haven't seen.
They haven't gotten her line
of vision yet.
So she's so good. Yeah, I think some of mine may.
Does anybody want coffee?
Does anybody want coffee?
Yes. No, thank you.
I do. Oh, I'll have some.
just to keep it going.
Great presentation. I really enjoyed
it.
It
was
good.
A delight.
Oh, thank you.
It's funny. I work for KBIA Channel 7 here.
Oh, yeah.
And we just did a system called Promax. And it's a system of selling, so we can sell. I don't work in the news department.
Right. So that's why we talked about
it. And Promax, the one thing that we teach you is very systematic things. How to get the sale, you know, what to do
right
in front of a customer. It's all about the customer.
Sure.
Not just trying to sell, just trying to solve problems.
Right.
Trying to solve a problem, and it's interesting
that's
how we position.
The
majority of this, it's true. It's customer service is so key. People tend to forget about how you can serve a customer, and that's a long, for us, it's about money. So it's a long-lasting relationship.
Sure. Yeah.
Versus a one-time, I got some money in my pocket, then I'm going to move on. If you live a lot of disdain, and then it's, oh, man, nothing worked for me. That TV schedule was crap.
Right.
I'm never coming back to KBIA. I'm going to go across the street, which if they would have just sat there and listened and said, well, I really have good traffic, but I just want to move this one product.
Great.
They didn't hear that.
Mm-hmm. And the bad thing, too, is once
my favorite cake.
Have had a bad experience, it's so hard. It takes like four or five good ones to turn it around. You know, you can't can't fix it in one.
Yeah, the creator of this Promax, her name is Kelly Wergers. She makes a lot. Just going around to several stations
yes
around the country. Just pitching the product, just pitching the system.
There's some napkins over there.
No, never mind. That's right. I understand.
Yes, I understand.
Oh, are you the best?
I'm the one.
So that shirt thing wasn't an isolated incident.
No, the shirt thing wasn't an isolated incident.
That was great, wasn't it? They should have taken a picture of me. Put my shirt yeah all the ink spot.
You were talking about waiting on the phone for someone, and by the time you get them, you're furious. Because you've been listening to the crummy music.
I'm an expert at getting what I want on the phone.
And I used
very
to,
nice to
finally order tell the person, look around the room. Somebody's going to get their ass chewed. See who you don't like, and you just pass them over to me. This isn't your fault that I'm angry. So just look around. See who you don't like in the room. And I'll talk to them, and they can have the ass chewed.
I want
today
that after because, you know,
it
when I get them,
work every, yeah,
they can transfer me, and then I have to start my story again. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And so with my cell phone provider, I was just so awful that I had to tell them, if you transfer
Sprint
me to
Sprint
India,
mm-hmm,
if you transfer me to India one more time, I am going to be suicidal. They said, oh, ma'am, please don't say this. You know, these phone conversations are taped for training purposes. Good. Play it at every session you have. To make me happy tonight, you've got a winning formula there, because I am.